Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody that's tuning in, checking with us tonight, Wednesday night, The Cut, Level 14 Radio, live with Onyx and homie Golden Fleece. What it do?
Oh, man, yo, another Wednesday, another time to tackle The Cut, Global 14. You know how we do it, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of excited, man. I just came back from Chipotle, man. I love that place, man.
I've been there.
I love Chipotle. Been there once, don't go back. It's like crack. It's like crack. I'm telling you, it's like crack. And continue to go back and back. And I just ate some, so I'm feeling good, man. And ready to talk to the world on The Cut tonight.
No doubt, no doubt. If this is your first time checking into Global 14 Radio, The Cut, this is the station via entertainment media entertainment music mogul. Okay, I could see I'm starting already, not being able to talk. Entertainment music mogul, Jermaine Dupri. This is the social networking site, global14.com. Definitely want you guys to head over there, check out the website. Pretty dope, has everything from news and blogs and music and girls and videos and just all kind of stuff. And, of course, recently a lot of recap and reviews regarding the Social Death 20th anniversary, which went down February 23rd. I'm pretty sure by now pretty much everybody's heard of it and got to see what was missed.
I'm still getting calls about that weekend, man.
Everybody wants to know what happened. And then I seen Jermaine, actually, you got caught in the picture. My head was in the picture. You got caught in the picture. And as soon as Jermaine did that, I already could see it was an overload, and I knew you was going to get blown up. And then also, saying that, this is the perfect time to actually let the artists know how they can be considered. A lot of people have been sending their music in, which is great and accepted and welcomed. However, we do kind of have like a little process so we can keep everything structured and get you in and give everybody their fair chance at being heard. So I'll let the homie Golden tell y'all how y'all can get down with that.
Yeah, just hit us up, man. You know, we've taken music in our inboxes, or you can DM us on Twitter. You know, Onyx is at Onyx254. I'm at Golden Fleece on Global 14. But my Twitter is at The Glue, THAGLUE. Just hit us up. You know, we bounce the music off of each other. You know, make sure we listen to it. And we like to do, independent music on review shows. We definitely like to not just play the music and then say we played it. We want to dive into what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing something that, you know, is great, we want to be like, oh man, this is awesome, have some other opinions on it. Or if you may be lacking a little bit of something here or there, you also want to hear that everything's constructive. You know, we don't be bashing people on this joint like, yo, you stink. We don't be doing none of that. You know what I'm saying? So everything's constructive, but we definitely like play independent records during those shows. So if you send us a record and we don't play it on next show, it's because probably we're not doing a review show. So when we are going to do that show, we're going to hit you up and let you know, like, yo, we're going to be rocking with your joint today. Stay tuned, tweet it out to your peoples, and tune in. So that's what it is.
No doubt, definitely. And, but again, that just helps really just keep everything structured. And thank you for announcing that. We'll let them know. Definitely won't let you miss out the opportunity of your song being heard. Also, tonight's special guest, I'm so excited, Mr. Adam Lopez. Actually, I need to turn my phone down. Sorry, guys. Mr. Adam Lopez, music manager. Once a musician, music manager now in the industry, very knowledgeable, lots of experience. So definitely excited to have him on tonight. I can't wait for him to just kind of go in on that, you know, the whole management 101 deal. There's a lot of people. I don't have to go into that. We'll let Mr. Adam Lopez get into that. But, you know, Golden, you're a production manager, and some of those things go hand in hand as well. Is that correct?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, managing talent, you know, being an executive producer of music, and, you know, whether you have an artist or you have a producer, it really all goes hand in hand. You want to make sure if you're a manager that you're putting out a product that, is worthy of being out there to the masses, you know. And the funny thing about it is these days everything changes, you know. A&Rs were once, really the person you would turn to make sure a record should hit the street. Producers used to, make sure a production manager's like, I like the way those drums sound, okay. I like the way those strings sound, that's good. I like the way everything is clean. But now, to be honest with you, you only use these people if you're a student of the game, I should say. That's what I'll say. If you're a student of the game, you still rely on those ears and those eyes and people that know what they're doing. But I can't sit here and tell you guys that you need that shit now. You know what I'm saying? Because people are putting records right on the internet from GarageBand or some shit like, they done made in their
SoundCloud.
House, and next thing you know, somebody's blowing up. You know what I'm saying? So if you're a student of the game and you want to be represented the right way, and you want to be managed by somebody that knows what they're doing, of course, you go seek that route out. But
right.
if you're somebody that's just like, I'm going to take my chance and just start putting shit up, don't think that you're going to be in that 1% of somebody that gets that super lucky. Just
right.
know the chips is going to be stacked against you if you're just putting out bullshit and, you know, not letting anybody direct you and give you direction. So, to
Absolutely.
Me, managers are super important.
Oh, yeah.
Production consultants are super important. A&Rs are still important to me. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But, you know, Trinidad James might tell you different.
right.
His story's a little bit
love.
Different.
Right. It's just one of those chances that, you know, one of those, like you said, one in a million, one percentile where,
right.
you know, this it happened like that for him. So, and again, shout out to the homie Trinidad James because I love
him.
Oh,
much success to the brother. I actually can't wait to hear his album because, unlike others, he's willing to learn and willing to
exactly,
be a student of the
exactly.
game. He's not just saying since I got on with
right.
that chance. That I know what I'm doing. Nah, he's saying, listen, I don't know, and I need help. And so his album may turn out way better than a lot of people expect. So I'm looking forward to that.
No, absolutely. And, like, I mean, I really like the fact, like he said, he did put it out there. He knows he's not the best or where he should be or where he could be. So I do appreciate the fact that he did put that out there and didn't just think he had it sold in the bag because he got the million-dollar deals, but he does got the million. So, you know, definitely can't wait for that.
He killed it.
Yeah, for sure, Still got to try to get him on the show. He's a very, very busy guy. And then also, guys, everybody that's listening, we do like to talk about who got the latest mixtape and kind of who's doing the charts, and we didn't get to do it last week because we did our So-So Death review. And if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that episode, do go back and hear our experience. We was all turned up, fired up, and tired at the same time. So go back and listen to that and see how much fun it was. So this week, actually, on the radio and pop charts is Taylor Swift with I Knew You Were. She's still holding it down. And then on the Hot 100, we have somebody, I don't even know how to pronounce the name, but it's the song is Harlem Shake, and I think the artist is Bar. Have you heard of this? Is it me that's just new?
Yeah, well, see, that's the, you've seen the Harlem Shake videos.
Yeah,
the,
I've been seeing the massiveness of it. And actually,
yeah,
today
so
was my
first
time.
So that's the actual song.
Okay.
That's the actual song.
Wow. Okay, so I heard it today because today was the first time I actually paid attention to what it was because people take it and do the most, so I just be like, okay, I don't want to deal with it. So I didn't even, like, click on any of the videos, and today I seen the one with Miami Heat. So that was the song then. Okay. Well, it's on number one on the chart, so it's working. Number one R&B hip-hop song and rap song is Thrift Shop, Macklemore, and Ryan Lewis. They've been on the chart for 21 weeks straight, holding that slot, so shout out to them. And then the number one R&B hip-hop album this week is Rihanna with Unapologetic. Very predictable. Anytime Rihanna does something, she does definitely top the charts. So I love her new joint. So, yeah, she's dope.
She's very, very, very consistent when
she
comes
she
out. She's always got records on the charts. She knows how to acclimate to the times and what's going on. That,
absolutely.
People need to really look at Rihanna a little bit. You know, I know she's does outlandish things out there in the media and shit like that, but musically, the adaptation of Rihanna to the time that she drops records is genius, man. And I know that's due to her, the people around her. But, like, when I was in the... rolling back from the A, and I was listening to the album and the joint, the Throw It Up, Throw It Up.
Yeah,
what
Pour It Up, Pour It Up. Yeah, that's
my
joint.
Like, that shit is so genius. Like,
it's
all about strip clubs and throwing money in the air right now. It's all about that. And she just, as a pop singer, and takes a whole track and just makes it dope about throwing your money in the air and watching it fall down. I just think she's... really smart, man. She definitely knows what she's doing.
That entire team and Wolf, of course, is just very, like you said, in there up to par with the times. I even like the one with her in Future, of course. So it's just
I can't fuck
I'm
with that.
Rihanna right now. You
that
don't
nigga
like it?
Sound like he's getting. He sounds like he's getting murdered.
Oh
know,
my
that nigga,
god!
That
you
nigga, he sounds like right in the
oh
middle
goodness.
When he starts saying love, that somebody comes from behind him and chokes him, and he's like,
oh my goodness, I like it. Love and affection. I can't get it out of my head. Like at the randomest times, randomness is not a word. At the most random times, I be finding myself doing the love and affection. It's just, hey, I'm caught. I've been caught. Any mixtapes that you wanted to
You know what? I didn't look for any mixtapes. I know that Meek Mill is working on Dream Chasers 3. I'm looking forward to that. I know a few people are working on some mixtapes, but I didn't go through the mixtapes today. Didn't look to see what was dropped.
Is anything hot,
today.
hot? Right.
Yeah.
I did
it,
see.
Usually something comes out to make me want to look, you know
what
I'm saying?
Right.
But the last things that, you know, have been surfacing was the Joel Santana mixtape, and you know, so basically I haven't been really looking. I know Lil Durk is supposed to be coming with something. That's Chiefs Keef's affiliate, the whole GBE 300 movement, you know what I'm saying? But there's probably some joints that I'll go check around and then listen to them and then get back on the next show about them. But nothing that stood out to me, and then I didn't go search and look for any tonight.
Right, no doubt. Well, I'm still in for a treat, everybody, again, that's listening. This is G14 Radio, The Cut, via the social networking site, global14.com. That is Jermaine Dupri's network. Get over there and get your network on. And tonight, coming up, actually in a few minutes, after we drop this track, is music manager Adam Lopez. So stay tuned to G14 The Cut.
We the motherfucking best, nigga. 18. Super. I come looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. I fuck bitches from different races. You get money, they started hating. I woke up in a new Bugatti. 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 I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Niggas be hating, I'm rich as a bitch. 100K I spun that on my wrist. $200 spun that on your bitch. You mean your model, put that on my list. Oh, there he go in that foreign again. Killing the scene, bring the core in the end. Murder she wrote, swallow a choke. Hit her and go, I won't call her again. Woke up, run it in my own it. Crib as big as a college. Smoke me a pound of the loudest. Whipping some shit with no mileage. Diamonds cost me a fortune. Them horses all in them Porsches. You put this game under afford it. 4,200 my mortgage. Falling on niggas like Corbett. Fuck all you haters, you call me. Only the real get a piece of the plate. Repping my city around in my state. Keep me a pistol, they run with the case. Niggas won't beef, then I bitches to play.
I come looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. I fuck bitches from different races. You get money, they started hating.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. 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 And I'm at it again. They go that flow, bringing tragedy in. Top me a chain, your salary spent. Niggas just sweeping them cavities in. Counting money, hourly trend. Rolling them skinny like Austin twins. Niggas just square, cabinet bins. Neck full of gold, Olympian shit. I'm blowing the check on the gear. Falling some pussy, then hop on the leer. Strap with them choppers in back of the rear. Fox Pate, them killers is here. Woke up, ready to mount it. Mind is telling me money. Paper, moolah. Pockets as fat as a tumor. Me and that nigga, no rumor. Living my life off a tuna. Want it with me, I deliver the beat. Real niggas only enjoying the feast. Pull up a seat, bon appetit. No lube or top when that red on your teeth. Bang, 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 bang.
I
come looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. I fuck bitches from different races. You get money, they started hating.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Photographs of dope boys. It's all they taking, fingerprints on a rose brush. It's why they hating, push a button on his broke boys. As detonation walk the road to riches bare feet.
Me,
I watch mama struggle, now she living carefree. That's why I hustle for that half a key, that 12G. I'm trying to bubble every summer a new LP. You gotta love me, I got shooters out the D-League. Signing bone and hit that man ass from 30 feet. Left in the puddle, bitch, the princess on the honey meal.
Honey
that
meal.
What it is, Ricky Rose and Nate Good. We have a trip, yeah.
I come looking for you with
what you know about this?
I stay smoking on good Jamaican.
We the best.
You get money, they started hating.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Already, G14 ready to cut. That was not Ace Hood featuring Future and Rick Ross. Bugatti, how you feeling about that, Golden? Was he doing too much for you on
man,
that cut?
I mean, listen, there's a specific theme that's going around in rap music right now, you know, in Bugattis, Louis, Louboutins, seem to be what it is, you know what I'm saying? And if you got Future on the hook, you got a record, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, in the club, it's off the chain for some reason, but I don't be riding in my car listening to it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I like the record, but it's definitely like a club banger. Like, it just gets you going, you know what I'm saying? But I really like Ace Hood as an artist, you know what I'm saying? And I love the new shit that he's coming with. Like, I think he's really flexing his muscles and showing people that he's lyrically inclined. But I like all of this music. I really do. And I know what it's for. You know what I'm saying? And that's why when I hear it regularly, it's cool. But when I'm in the club, it's turn up time. You know what I'm saying? So I fucks with that record.
Alrighty. Well, we actually do have Mr. Adam Lopez on the line. I had to play that joint because he said he's bumping that himself right now in the ride. How are you, Mr. Adam Lopez? He is live with G14 Radio to cut. Hello?
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Awesome, awesome. I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. It's crazy. I've been seeing your Twitter. You get hit up a lot.
Anything for you guys.
I got the other host on the line, Golden Fleece, as well.
Oh, much appreciated, Adam.
Yeah, man.
We're happy to have you tonight, my brother.
Likewise, happy to be here.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to get right into it. We definitely have a lot of artists tuning in tonight, which is really, really dope. And, again, I'm excited to have you. I wanted to start kind of by just asking you where you're from. I believe it's Connecticut, but I wanted you to kind of let us know where you're from, a little bit about your background as far as before the music, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us.
Yeah, absolutely. My hometown is Connecticut. I spend most of my time living in the city. I split an apartment up there with a few friends of mine. And, pretty much Connecticut is where I'm from. I started off playing in a band, actually. This is way back into this, probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Just playing in local bands, playing local gigs and stuff like that. And I got a job. Actually, it's funny how this stuff works out, because I got a job working for a gentleman named Glenn Delgado, who used to be the head of business affairs over at J Records, which is, as you guys know, Jermaine Dupri's label. So I got a job over there when I was about probably 21, and I was there for 2 years as an A&R for EMI. I was there for 2 years, and I left and was an A&R over at an Island Def Jam joint venture for a year, and I just always wanted to be a manager. You know, it always just, the label system is just so crazy nowadays, you know, and it's really not super beneficial to artists, you know, being on both sides of it. And plus, it helps me out, too, because, you know, as an A&R going to a manager, it really makes sense, you know, knowing how to negotiate both sides of the coin, you know, as to what they're expecting, what we're expecting. So, you know, it's really good to be well-rounded. So now I've been managing for probably about 2 years, and the company's doing great. Our clients have sold just under 2 million records in 2 years, cumulative. So we're doing pretty well over here, you know, just working really hard.
Oh, my goodness. I did my little, you know, history homework, tried to, and I did as much as I could, and I did not even find you I didn't even gather the fact that you, you know, had the job with G Records and EMI. That's incredible, and I want to ask you a little bit more about that, your side of the A&R, because that's really great. And, again, all the artists that's listening, please tune in, listen, take notes, all of that. So, Adam, you said you started out in the band. I did see that you did. Were a drummer in a band, actually. But what actually got you into music from jump, as far as getting into the industry? Was it your family or anybody in particular that put you onto the music industry?
Honestly, I have to give the credit to probably my father. When I was younger, I played a lot of sports, you know, baseball, track and field, all that stuff, typical high school kids play. And my dad would always give me a hard time. He's like, oh, you should just be in a band. Stop playing sports. Be in a band. So
Wow. One
day, I was him and I were driving back from a baseball practice, I believe, and we found a drum set on the side of the road. So we fixed it up, and that's how I started playing. So it's a little serendipitous, but, you know, it's kind of a crazy story. So that's I guess I owe it to him, you know?
No doubt. Anyone that influenced you as far as artist-wise when you're getting ready to break into the band?
I'm always a big pop music fan. I always joke around and tell people that I have the musical taste of, like, a 12-year-old girl sometimes. So it's really fun. Being in the pop genre, you know, I have a soft pop of pop music, and I think it's really my forte, you know. But, you know, I manage artists, everything from hip-hop artists to pop acts to rock acts. So, you know, really a lot of the pop music, you know, a lot of the, you know, the 90s when the Third Eye Blind craze was huge, all those bands, Counting Crows, stuff like that. And then getting the job over at the EMI joint venture with Glenn really kind of brought me into the hip-hop music. I mean, I grew up listening to hip-hop. I actually was born in New Haven, Connecticut, so I lived down there for a bunch. And they have a really strong hip-hop scene down there. So I was always into it from a young age and kind of got detached from it and then got reconnected with it when I got the job back at the label.
Right. Okay. And I also see that you were a booking manager as well. Who was that with, and what was that, you know, what were your duties then?
Well, I think you guys really did your homework on this one.
Yeah, I told you I did. Ooh. I did some.
when I was about 18, I want to say, I was a freshman in college, and I got a job at a booking agency in Boston, a very, very small agency called the Star Vista Music Group. It was me and, like, two or three other people who were all in their late 20s, and I really didn't know much about booking. I was kind of a little promoter back in the day, but when you're, like, 17, 18, you try and do it all, you know, which later in life proves to be exceedingly difficult. So, I got the job at this little agency in Boston when I was 18, and I would drive back and forth from my college in Connecticut to Boston. And then I would pretty much just stop going to classes in college and just live in my dorm room and work on booking tours constantly, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
So that's kind of how I started as an agent, and that kind of got me into that end. But honestly, I have a lot of respect for all the booking agents out there, because it's so tough. It is so, so tough with promoters and stuff like that. It's just, you really have to have, you know, some thick skin to work as a booking agent.
Absolutely. And then just that whole event planning aspect, that's like my day gig is catering and sales in the hospitality industry, and it's a lot. It is hectic to do. Yeah, the paperwork,
absolutely.
The phone calls. Oh, my goodness. So, well, we'll get into the management. Actually, I do see you're actually currently managing Nathan Ryan, and we'll get into more of that. Can you kind of tell me Now, there's a lot of people that this is, I really need you to just kind of keep the, let the unsigned artists know, when should they actually be looking for a manager? Because I see a lot of people with managers, and I just wanted you to kind of go touch on that as far as when do you actually need a manager?
To be honest, it comes at different points in people's career. I mean, a lot of people say you need a manager once the artist starts getting overwhelmed, you know, or once they start not knowing where to go. I mean, which both aspects are true, but for an independent artist, I mean, a manager could be anyone from a friend who's willing to, like, if you're just on the come up, if a friend, you know, is willing to just work their butt off with you to make sure that all this stuff is going well, you know, anyone who wants to be a manager, any artist seeking a manager, it's always good if you've never had a manager before or you don't have a lot of experience in the industry, if you're kind of new. It's always great to have someone there, like, your right-hand man or something like that, you know, because that's how a lot of these, especially hip-hop, a lot of managers and a lot of A&Rs started out just having some friends of theirs, you know, and just blowing up with them, and really, it came out great because, like, I'm a firm believer that, you know, some of the best experience you get is, you know, just living it and just making those mistakes and taking those leaps, you know. As far as the artist goes, it's like an artist should really seek out a manager whenever he or she feels like maybe she's at a little bit of a roadblock, you know, or maybe she feels like she's exhausted all of his or her contact lists, or maybe it's trying to, you know, achieve a plateau that would feel like, you know, nothing huge, like, you know, if you want to sell a million records, then you hire a manager, you know. So it's like if people have, everyone gets to a point where, you know, they feel like they need to grow, and some people feel like they really can't grow anymore, you know. So bringing someone in with fresh ideas, you know, fresh ideas and fresh concepts and innovation is always really key. And it doesn't have to be someone who's either going to charge you or take a huge percent on the back end. It's really just someone who, you know, knows enough to get you to the next point in your career. As far as I think goes, like I said, managers are definitely, they're not a necessity when you're first starting out, but once you get to that point, honestly, every artist knows once they get to a point where they're like, I really can't handle this anymore, I need to bring someone else in.
Right. And at that time, then, can you kind of give, so what would be some of the things that you think a good manager should do? So as far as, like, trying to establish those relationships with those executives, isn't it important to have those relationships so that you can actually put your artist out there? Like, could you kind of give us a strategy on that as far as the promotion of the artist and how to actually meet up with people, get the meetings with the A&Rs, get the meetings with the, you know, whomever, the DJs or whomever you need to get with to play the record?
Yeah, as far as, I mean, when you hire a manager, honestly, a lot of people, there, in my opinion, there's a couple different kinds of managers. There's those managers out there with the massive contact list, you know, who have all the program directors, who have all the agents, who have all the labels, you know, and then there's managers out there who are just incredibly hardworking, who might not have as impressive as a contact list, you know, and I consider myself the best of both worlds, kind of, because I have a great contact list, but I'm also a very hard worker. So as far as management goes, every manager has a different style. You know, some managers are into, like, really grassroots marketing, like, you know, we got to build your core fan base regionally. And some managers are like, let's come to the studio and write that single, and I'll push it to everyone I know. You know, it's tough because, I mean, coming from my end, I'm more so about developing a core fan base. You know, managers should really, really help an artist develop a regional core fan base, because at the end of the day, if any artist has 1,000 core fans that will buy any content that they put out, then the artist is going to be doing well. And to have that foundation is almost invaluable. You know, so as a manager, I mean, I really feel like after you have that, it's definitely a necessity to have someone, just to have the same manager be able to take that, harness the power of, you know, that fan base and take it to the labels and take it to radio and all that stuff, you know. But it's a very long process, you know, it's a very, very long process. And a lot of people, honestly, a lot of artists don't want to wait, which is tough. You know, I mean, it takes an 18-month to two-year process to break someone out, you know. And it's tough, and I understand why artists get discouraged. But, you know, as far as having a manager, you know, it's really about someone who is really, really intensive in the process. You know, someone who is very, very hands-on and someone who knows where to go, when to go, and how far to go, you know, at the right times.
Absolutely. And that's great advice. I hope everyone is listening and on the end of this. Now, also, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the fact of a good manager being someone that knows they can't do everything. They know that, okay, I need to actually make a phone call to so-and-so. Can you kind of touch on that as well to the listening?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone has, you know, a designated position in the music industry. You know, this is why I'm not a huge fan of companies that call themselves, like, one-stop shops or full-service companies.
Yeah.
there are some out there that do it well. You know, there are, don't get me wrong, there are companies out there who are fantastic, who can offer all those services. But it's like a manager, you know, a great manager knows that they're a great manager and doesn't try to be an agent, doesn't try to be a publicist or an A&R. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a great manager should introduce to you these people who are great, like just as great as them. You know, those great publicists out there, those great A&Rs out there, those great radio promotion people. You know, it's like, it's tough because a lot of managers try and do it all. And I mean, honestly, when I was first starting out, you know, probably 2.5 years ago, I tried to do it all alone, you know, and you burn the candle at both ends and, you know, you know 10% about everything, but you don't know 100% about anything. So it's like really just honing your craft as being a manager, just like it is being an artist. You know, it's a constant learning process with the music industry changing almost daily. You know, it's just really a good to make sure that you know your limitations, you know, as a manager and as an artist as well.
Absolutely. That's great. And I was just, right before we brought you on live, we actually, the other host who's a production manager kind of just mentioned all of that about, you know, briefly just saying there's so many different people within the industry that have different jobs. And so I just think that's great that you kind of touched on that. Even someone yourself that's been in the industry for such a long time that, you know, I can't do it all. I may know a little bit about everything, but at some point I do have to step in and have a team. So right now you do have a lot going on. You actually were a drummer, so you transitioned to management. Did you enjoy more so the business side than you did being an artist or being a drummer?
Absolutely, yeah. The business side always appealed to me more, you know, and a lot of people, a lot of the great managers out there started off as drummers, which is kind of funny, you know, like over at Crush Management. Rob Hitt over there, there's a lot of great people over there. They have an amazing, amazing firm going on. He started it. He's one of the people who started it. He was a drummer. You know, it's weird because being a drummer, you feel like there's a lot of, there's a big sense of dedication because we always have to do the most work. So immediately once I was kind of over being a drummer, you know, it's tough because I would always do all the business stuff for whatever act I was playing with first and then worry about honing my craft as a musician. So I got to a point where the artists I was with, you know, were like, listen, we're a great manager, but we should find a better drummer. So that's kind of where we were at that point. And I'll be the first to admit it. So, but after that, you know, and I'm so happy and I'm very fortunate that I was able to make that leap, at a relatively young age and be able to transition almost seamlessly into management. You know, obviously there were some bumps and some turbulence, but I was very fortunate to have a good springboard to get me, you know, into the management side of things.
Yeah, definitely. That's such an incredible story, and it's great to know that you recognize that, you know what, I actually enjoy this more. Let me go ahead and do this. Leave that alone. Y'all get the new one. We still rocking. We still a team, but I want to kind of dive into the paperwork, so that's really, really dope. How do you feel, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about independent labels versus signing to a major label, which we know, of course, the mergers happen, but what is your take as far as that, indie or major, and do we need them, unsigned artists?
As far as my opinion goes, and I'm a firm believer of this, whether it's an indie or a major, a good deal is a good deal regardless. You know, as long as the deal is good, you know, because there are great deals at indies and there are terrible deals in indies. You know, like just like there are great deals at majors, awful, god-awful deals at majors sometimes as well. So, you know, as long as you and your team feel comfortable with the deal you're going into, regardless if it's with an indie or a major, then it's a good setup. As far as promotion and PR and marketing and all that stuff, a major label is great for that stuff, but you really have to understand what you're sacrificing. You know, some major labels will take a lot from you. You know, they'll take your masters. They'll, you know, they'll give you a huge advance, which, you know, maybe they don't even believe they'll recoup. So it's tough. You know, there are a lot of great, hardworking indies out there who won't give you a huge advance. Who might give you 10 grand. And a lot of people are like, oh, 10 grand, I can't do anything with that. But in essence, what the best situation is signing to an indie who has an upstream deal with a major. Because the indie has the time and, you know, and I guess the patience to develop an artist, you know, and really get to the point where the indie feels like they're getting, you know, a little outgrown, they uplift them to the major. You know, so a lot of great artists have done that. I really feel like that's what a lot of independent labels are trying to do. You know, every independent label is trying to get that joint venture, that distro deal, you know, which is fantastic, you know, because once some of your artists outgrow, you still get a percentage of the back end if you own the indie. So, you know, it's a really great situation. And as far as labels go in general, in my opinion, I mean, nowadays you have someone like Macklemore, who's completely unsigned, who has the number one record in the country, which to me is absolutely insane, you know. So it's really like, you know, nowadays with, like, as you guys were saying earlier, you know, it's like, it's really about, you know, your management team, your publicist, your agent. If all of those are firing on all cylinders, like, you can at least sustain yourself, you know, as, even if you're working a day job as an artist. A day job as an artist is the most, it's the most intelligent thing you can do, is to keep working that job, because all it's doing is bringing more revenue in for you to invest in your craft. You know, everyone's like, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to become an artist. I'm going to be a singer-songwriter. I'm going to be a hip-hop artist. I'm going to be whatever. But at the end of the day, those finances that you're generating are what's keeping your craft alive. So,
exactly.
So it's like, a lot of people quit their job and start working on music, but it's like, keep working that day job, and then once you start making enough money as an artist to live on your, like, you know, to live off of that income, then quit the day job. You know, then you can just reinvest
exactly.
everything you make into being an artist. So, it's, you know, it's a crazy concept people don't understand, you know, but it's really, being self-sustaining is where all the money is nowadays. If you can make it self-sustaining, you can get a good consultant or a good manager, like I said, you're going to be okay.
Absolutely. I love that you said that, and it's so funny because Gordon and I, we mentioned that also. We always say, don't quit your day job. Don't quit your day job. Like, we always say that. So it's just so great to have you come on and say that as well, and co-sign, if you will, kind of things that we've been talking about for the past year with the show. So then, okay, so India Mainstream kind of depends on the team and the deal, and that's something also that I agree with you 100% on. So tell me right now about the artist that you're managing currently.
I have a couple. I manage a group, a pop duo from Boston called Call Me Anything. I manage like hip-hop group from, like a hip-hop screamo type of group from Albuquerque, New Mexico called Broken Side. I manage a couple producers, a couple songwriters, a producer named De Niro who did the new Nathan Ryan record. I also manage a gentleman named Nathan Ryan, who I don't know if you guys have met via Twitter yet, but I know, I'm pretty sure he's over there blowing it up or doing something right now. I consult for, you know, probably another six or seven artists at labels and other management companies. You know, so it's like, it gets really, really busy, and especially with the springtime coming up, you know, I have 5 records to roll out. So it's like, you know, we got to get them all out by May, and it's like, it's been crazy over here, and then, you know, it's a wild ride, a wild couple months.
I can imagine. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you have a team at hand, especially all the knowledge that you're coming with, because that is quite a lot, but, you know, for you to do it efficiently is just amazing. So also then, let's get into some other things that you're doing on the side as far as not management. You mentioned you have a couple of things coming up that you've been doing. A book, is that kind of what I saw?
Pardon, one more time, I didn't catch that.
Oh, okay. You have other projects coming out that are aside from the music. I believe that I read somewhere that you're doing a book. Are you releasing a book?
Yes, absolutely. I'm releasing a book called No Smoking in the Green Room, and it's pretty much about just exactly what we just spoke about. You know, a kid who's probably 14 or 15, doesn't know what he wants to do, you know, in life, and just kind of makes it up as he goes, coming through the industry and, you know, finding a certain level of success and the trials and tribulations and, you know, the kind of heartbreaking failures you go through and then, like, you know, these amazing, amazing accomplishments. And it's like, it's a book that's really, really going to, you know, I feel like it's really, really going to change people's perspective of young people in the industry, you know, which I really think will be fantastic. I'm actually starting on March 11th, I'm starting a Kickstarter for it to raise some money to print some physical copies of it. And as far as Kickstarter goes, a lot of people are like, oh, Kickstarter, you know, a lot of people are for it or against it, but I'm not so much doing it for the monetary, you know, value of it. I'm more so doing it to get people involved, because you figure you can sell a book for $15 or $10 or whatever, but it's like not a lot of people get to be a part of the process of it coming together. You know, so as opposed to just going on Amazon or going on, you know, iBooks and buying the book, or going to Barnes & Noble and buying a book, you get to choose what you want to invest in the book itself and, you know, obviously get rewards based on the price point you want to invest. You know, I think Kickstarter is a phenomenal company, and they do absolutely amazing things for independent artists and independent authors and, you know, producers and directors and charities. It's just, it's a phenomenal thing altogether, and I'm very, very happy to be teaming up with them on this.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Definitely keep us posted. We'll be hitting you up about that book.
Absolutely.
I definitely can't wait to read and get all the free.
And then I also wanted to ask you this. How do you feel about, and this is just something just that I pulled, how do you feel about people buying views and buying followers to gain a fan base, quote unquote? How effective is that? Does that provide some type of, do labels look at that and be like, yeah, this is the one? I mean, how do you feel about that? Or do you have a feeling of it? About
To be honest, it's like every social network has, you know, a lifespan. You know, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Instagram, you have this new network called Vine. You know, every type of, you know, interaction network like that, it has a lifespan, you know, and it's like, as far as Twitter goes and, like, buying Twitter followers and stuff like that, managers and labels can see directly through that, almost effortlessly. You know, so it's like, if you have, like, for example, if you have 200,000 Twitter followers, you get an app reply every 2 days, odds are there's not that many people following you because no one's engaging
right.
with you. You know, so it's like, you have 175,000 Twitter followers and you're getting, you know, about 1,000 app replies a day, we can see that. You know, I mean, it's anyone with a smartphone can pretty much look anything up like that. You know, so it's like, as far as buying Twitter followers and buying Facebook likes and YouTube views, it's like a lot of people think that, even to the general public, they're even getting wise to it. You know, it's like if you have a video with 500,000 views on it and 2 comments, it's like there's no way 500,000 people viewed it and didn't comment on it. You
exactly.
know, so it's like,
because they're
going
to comment.
Exactly. And honestly, for me, it's like I would rather see someone with 5,000 followers who are all completely engaged in everything he or she is doing, as opposed to seeing someone with 100,000 and getting absolutely no engagement.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Okay, definitely. I do want to bring Golden Fleece on the line. I'm the other host because I know that he probably has a couple of things he wants to chime in and possibly ask you. I was trying
That's
to get cool. the artist to call, I wanted to get the artist in to call in. I have a lot of people that won't stop tweeting me and texting me while I'm interviewing you. But I am encouraging everyone to call in if you have a question, 760-913-4119. And then before I open the floor to Golden, I want to ask you to speak on branding and merchandising because you had kind of a little quick segment on your blog spot, which was really dope. And like you said, it's not a music blog, but you just had to put it out there. Can you give that information to our listeners since you're on the line?
Yeah. As far as, like, the blogging stuff goes, you know, it's like all my stuff is on my blog, theadamlopez.com. I wrote a blog recently about it, which is actually, you know, how it ended up linking up, which is great. And it's a little blog, you know, it's not super long, it's maybe 4 or 5 paragraphs, but it touches on a little bit of everything, you know. And as far as the merchandising and branding go, you know, it's really a breed all its own. You know, it's very incredible, you know. It's about being innovative and seeing where the profit margins are, you know, and it's like, anyone can print a T-shirt, you know, for $5 and sell it for $15. But it's like, you know, if you're going to do something selling it to that high of a price point, it's like find something you can purchase for $1 or 99 cents and then resell that for $15. You know, it's like, and that's really where the management team and all that consulting stuff come in, and also that list of contacts. You know, it's like finding the best distributors, finding the best merchandising companies. You know, it's a lot of people just Google, like, you know, T-shirt printing company. And it's like $7 a shirt. They're like, oh, cool, I want shirts really bad, I'm just going to order it. When in reality, you can go somewhere and get them for $4.50 a shirt, and your profit margin just jumps 30%. So branding like that, it's a very tumultuous and very trying situation if you really don't know what you're doing. But you'll learn very quickly that, you know, you can always find it cheaper somewhere else. It's, you know, if you just Google is an amazing tool. You can always find it cheaper somewhere else.
No doubt. I Google all day, everything. well, yeah, that was really exciting. And everyone, again, do follow Adam Lopez at The Adam Lopez. It is on the Twitter at D14 Radio. And I want you guys to go to the blog spot because it actually has a couple of little segment sections, little paragraphs, one about the fans. And that was my favorite one because, like you said, not engaging with this is not cool. Oh, it's so funny. My host can come online and speak on that, but he always talks about how if people are getting so much money and their chain is this and that, then I'm not going to buy their album because they're already, you know, they already have the money. They don't want to, you know, interact with fans. And, you know, so it's so funny the way he does it. And Golden, I'm sorry. I'm going ahead and let you come in and say,
hey, I was, you know, enjoying that.
enjoying the interview with Adam. He definitely, you know, brings up a lot of points that we always talk about. And, yeah, you know, I was talking about, you know, the artists engaging with fans and, you know, creating grassroots and an organic fan base. And like Onyx was just saying, not just stunting on them all year and asking them to pay for your album for $9.99, you know, constantly tell them how much money you got all year. And then say, hey, can you buy my album for $9.99, you know, $10.99. I think artists these days have particularly urban artists, and I hope they get out of that. They don't engage with their fans as much as they should, and I think that's why guys like Kendrick Lamar, Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa, the whole Roster Records team over there, they understand that there's something to touring and hitting these festivals and really talking to these kids that'll be your core fan base and buy your merchandise and things of that nature. I mean, I think Wiz did like 11 million one year in just merchandise alone. And, you know, I'm glad you came on here and, you know, dropped that knowledge to a lot of our listeners, because I always say, for some reason, chasing your dream makes you lose your common sense. So sometimes even stuff that you know in your mind that you should do, like just chasing it, they don't do it. You know, like simple stuff like you said about the comments on YouTube. Like if I see 500,000 views and one comment, something tells me that something's not right. And, you know, even with buying views and things of that nature. So I'm just glad we have people to reiterate and come on the line and let people know, you know, just be conscious of what you're doing. And if you do get a manager, be conscious of what they know and, you know, try to bring as much smartness to the forefront rather than, hey, I'm just out here chasing it. You know, it's like it's strategies to it, too. And we definitely want our listeners to learn those strategies and give yourself a better chance of succeeding.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. You know, it's great that, you know, there are people out there who share the same, you know, common sense. And circling back to what you said before, I think everyone over at Rostrum and Benji and Wiz and Mac, they have a phenomenal, phenomenal team over there. It took, what a lot of people don't know is it took Wiz like 6 or 7 years to get where he is, to even break out.
Yep.
Back to Ella.
Right.
So it's a very, very, very long road. You know, it's like it takes a very long time, you know. And I'm kind of a big fan of, like, when I was mentor, one of my mentors always told me that if you can Google it, it can break out. You know, if you have a song that's been sitting on iTunes and finally like the Harlem Shake, you know, by Bauer, you know, it's like that song was out for a year. And then finally someone made a YouTube video about it and it just went viral and now it's the number one song in the country. So, you know, like I said, mm-hmm. It's a very, very long road. And like I said, Wiz and all them, you know, they executed very, very well. And Benji and everyone over there, and just a great team.
Yeah, most definitely. And we try to definitely talk about those stories, the stories that, you know, they don't know behind the scenes or even the people. When I mention Benji's name, I can't believe how many people be like, you know, who's that? Who? You know, and I'm like, well, you need to Google those guys because those guys have, you know, I think they could bring anybody through that lane and win. Those guys are doing tours before, you know, they're even upstream. You know, they're headlining their own tours. So, and Matt Diller hasn't even upstreamed yet. So, like you were saying before, man, all of that is very important, and we're so glad that we have people come on to talk about those things. One question I did want to ask, you were saying that about Kickstarter, and I don't know if a lot of our listeners know what Kickstarter is, but it's an excellent site that helps artists, authors. Basically, if you're trying to raise money for something, you know, Kickstarter will help you do that. They have a whole structure, which they have helped a lot of different artists. You know, if your goal is to raise $10,000 for something specific, you know, you can do that through Kickstarter. If you could just, you know, let them know exactly how you came across Kickstarter and just elaborate a little bit more of what you would be doing with them, I think they should definitely hear that because that's an excellent site.
Absolutely, yeah. Kickstarter is fantastic. I've only been a really, like, really big fan of it since I found out about it probably about 2 years ago, and it's been getting really, really hot recently. And I did a Kickstarter campaign with a client of mine called Sparks the Rescue. They're a band from Northern Maine, and they had a huge following. I signed them probably about a year and a half ago, and then, you know, they got dropped from their label, and everyone's like, what's the next move? You know, but they still had this incredibly engaging fan base, you know, behind them. So, I mean, even if a label drops you, your fans are still there. You know, you worked your ass off for 5 or 6 years, and your fans aren't going to go anywhere if you're still pushing a solid message and you still have great music. That being said,
right,
they hosted a Kickstarter campaign asking for, I believe it was $8,000 or $10,000, and we ended up getting it as high as $15,000. So the great thing about Kickstarter is you pretty much you start a project, and, you know, via Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, whatever it may be, you know, you promote this project you have going on, and you send people to the site, and there are different tiers of rewards based on how much you want to donate. So, you know, if someone's doing a record and you donate $10, maybe you'll get a free record out of it. And if you donate something like $1,000, a lot of artists sometimes will come out and do a private show or give you VIP to, like, 5 or 6 tour dates or go out to dinner with you. I've seen some crazy rewards on there, some crazy rewards.
Right.
I actually saw a band do a Kickstarter, and if you donated $1,000, they would be your prom date. So I've seen some crazy things be raffled off on Kickstarter. But the great thing is, it's like, you know, it's a matter of, even if you do reach your goal, you know, which 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever it may be, you can make the goal whatever you want it to be. But even if you do reach your goal, Kickstarter lets you surpass that. People can keep donating. There was a musical artist, I believe, I forget what her name is. I'll probably remember it the second I get off the call. But she did a Kickstarter for $20,000, I believe, and she ended up raising, I think, $1.1 million. On it, because I guess the campaign went
viral. I heard about her. Yep.
It's really, really crazy, you know, and it's like, it just goes to show that if you have a solid message to push and you market that Kickstarter properly, it's like, the sky's the limit. You know, it really, really is. Kickstarter is a great tool for every independent artist. You know, as long as you have a few engaging fans and you can, you know, you have the energy to push it out and make sure that, you know, you have all the energy there, then, you know, you can really do great things and move mountains with Kickstarter.
Most definitely, and thank you for elaborating on that, Adam, because that's an awesome site. I actually discovered it about a year and a half ago, probably around the same time that you checked it out. A lawyer told us about it, and we were just waiting until we got our artist project together and, you know, developed him, and we're actually about to use it as well. So we're looking forward to that. Like I said, awesome site, and thanks for dropping that nugget on the listeners. But other than that, man, I just want to say definitely appreciate you coming on the line. I'm going to be following everything that you're doing and supporting it. And maybe we could collaborate, man, for one of your artists. I got a production team, an artist. Maybe we could get together and do some things, man. Who knows?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be on here. I really appreciate you guys having me. It's been fantastic.
Oh, nah, man. Thank you for coming on. You know, Onyx and I, we're growing this thing. You know, Jermaine is, this social network is helping a lot of different artists, you know, get their you know, music out there. But one thing that we stress is to, you know, follow the term social network. Be social first, you know. Don't just come on the site, bam, and be with your music, and, you know, hey, check me out, I'm the greatest ever, and, you know, not engaging with anybody and talking with anybody. And I think the platform that he's created is excellent for anybody to come on. It doesn't even matter if they don't do music or not. We talk about different topics. So, you know, hopefully we'll see some of your artists on there soon, and people can start getting familiar with them and checking them out as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I checked the site out for the first time today, and it's a really great thing Jermaine has going on. You know, it's a really cool social network. It's very easy to navigate. You know, I think you guys have a great, great thing going on, and I'm definitely happy to be a part of it, and, you know, have my artists be a part of it as well.
Awesome.
Absolutely. I want to check to see real quick if anyone else has a question for you. I mean, the board is lit up. The board is lit up, but they're listening in, they're engaging, they're tweeting. Shout out to your producer, De Niro and then Nathan Ryan and Destiny Underwood, one of the young girls who is a artist coming out of Atlanta. She listens in pretty much faithfully, and she's, you know, aspiring young artist, very great pop, R&B, so really dope. She's listening in,
yeah,
and thank you so much.
Listening.
Yeah.
Destiny,
yes.
Definitely tell your mom to check out Kickstarter. I think Destiny will get on there and actually kill raising money. Just, you know, just how young and cute and her music. She that is something definitely that you guys want to check out, Destiny. So if you're listening, tell your mom to check out Kickstarter.com.
Mhm, mhm. And so
she,
like I said, she's said thank you so much, Adam, for clearing up the whole fake followers and fake YouTube views thing. She definitely wanted to know if that was something that people actually looked at and could see through. So she said thank you. And I just, again, a lot of people kind of hitting the Twitter up and going crazy and really excited about you being on the show. So we definitely, definitely appreciate you for coming in. Anything that you want to share that we didn't actually touch on at this moment?
Well, honestly, not true.
I'm sorry. You broke up just a little bit. We on the phone.
I was just saying that everyone, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate you guys having me, and, you know, I look forward to hearing from, you know, obviously having a great relationship with you guys in the future. And if anyone wants, you know, check out www.theadamlopez.com. Follow me on Twitter @TheAdamLopez. And if anyone wants to email me, all my stuff is out there, so feel free to drop me a line. My inbox is always open.
It's awesome. Actually, I thought you were going to be skating out, but I do have a caller on the line for you with a question. I'm going to bring him live right now. This is from the area code 706. I think it's Mr. Famous. Not sure or not, but he is on the line and he does have a question. Mr. Famous, you're live with Adam Lopez. Question or comment? And it goes 706. He's hanging in there. He's holding in there. He's hanging in there.
My channel, too. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I think I was still muted. Hey, how y'all doing?
How are you?
Excellent. How are you doing,
good,
brother?
I appreciate it. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm Mr. World Famous, the CEO of INF Media Group and also INF World Records. And I did have a question for you, Mr. Lopez. I'm actually from Atlanta, located in Augusta, Georgia, at a point in time. But one thing I've been noticing over the last 2 years is that the EDM market, electronic dance music and dubstep type of music, which is kind of old overseas, is kind of catching on. It's kind of being defined as international sound. So my question to you is, in reference to an international sound, I mean, we have songs that go from here all over the world because they become popular, but in reference to an international sound, which market or which genre of music would you recommend? Because some individuals, I'm telling them to be open to it if they want to go beyond their neighborhood, if they want to be more open to what's going on in the rest of the world, the type of sound. So in your opinion, in reference to international sound, EDM, international dance music, what would you say is a kind of a good, kind of hot right now from your experience?
To be honest, that's actually a really good thing you brought up. I was going to say before that, you know, besides the U.S. territory, there's the rest of the world out there. You know, and if anyone's rolling a record out and they don't see it getting, you know, that much attention in the U.S., you know, the U.K. and Europe and, you know, even Asia and Australia, they're a great, you know, we can't forget about them because they're absolutely phenomenal. And they have pushed a lot of great records and a lot of great artists to the forefront. As far as EDM music goes, I had this discussion when I was at a business meeting the other day, and in my personal opinion, I feel like when Skrillex and Zedd and, you know, and all those huge EDM guys were big, I feel like it's maybe on its way out a little bit. I mean, I can tell I with the trend the best I can, but EDM is definitely the most widely relatable, and I feel like it's a huge, huge market. I feel like in the United States, though, it will always be big in Europe and in the UK. You know, it'll always be huge over there. That's like their go-to genre of music. With the U.S., I feel like it might have been a little bit of a fad. And I feel like it might kind of be on the downslope, but definitely in the rest of the world, if you want to conquer the world and have a generally related genre, I definitely think EDM is the way to go.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
That was a great question. Had two other callers. It looks like we might have lost them in the queue, people get a little nervous. they really do. But we do thank everyone that hung in and listening and that's tweeting and all of that. Like he said, hit him up at the Adam Lopez. You're going to follow the Twitter at G14 Radio at Global 14. There actually will be a nice post on Global14.com that will be having more of Adam's information, so you'll be able to find him everywhere. Global 14 now as well. So thank you so much for joining our site. We're so glad you enjoyed thus far what you've seen. So.
I appreciate you guys having me. I look forward to coming back on in the future. You guys are great.
Thank you so much. And you have a great evening, and we do want to have your artist on next. So, and don't forget to let us know about your book release. We do want to be on board for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Adam.
All right, take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay. I love guys like that. Mr. Adam Lopez, industry musician first, many jobs, and then industry, and within the industry, and now an artist manager, notable and very knowledgeable. And I really like how he can take the time out of his evening with so many artists, with so much that he has going on to speak with you artists tonight and with us and just everybody that's listening, because, you know, we really got to start, like Golden said, strategizing and just trying to have a plan. I mean, we can go hard and grind all day and we can just be in the studio all day, but are we being effective as what we're putting out? Quality records, quality production, quality music, quality lyric-wise, song-wise, hits. We should be aiming for nothing short of a hit to try to, you know, go for the buck. So, I mean, what is it? Get the biggest bang for your buck?
Well, like I said, the dream clouds judgment most of the time, and it's because they're looking at what's on television, and they don't know what happened behind the scenes before it got on television. So,
right.
You know, when you, it's kind of like if you see somebody, you know, graduated at a graduation, you're ecstatic for that person walking across the stage, you know what I'm saying? You're loving
right.
that moment, but you don't know what that student went through to get that cap and gown, you know what I'm saying?
Real
so
thought.
You got to really know, hey, this is the road that we're going on, and, you know, it's always the guys that started off as artists, like even I started off rapping back in the day, and you know,
mm-hmm.
he started off with a band. It's going to always be those guys that have, you know, the knowledge of what it will take, even if they didn't succeed at that type of level that they wanted to as an artist, because you get to see all aspects
exactly.
of the game. Like, if you were a serious artist, you have seen people approach you about your music. You sat in record labels. You've been to the shows. You've been to the shows where you were supposed to go on and you couldn't end up performing. Something happened.
Exactly.
So out of all of those different experiences, mold how you move forward. So when you
exactly.
get with somebody else and you're behind the scenes and you're doing something, you're making sure A to Z doesn't happen to them, that you experience. And experience is the best teacher in anything, not just music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you experience, it's going to help you out, as long as you learn from your mistakes. So I always
exactly.
like to talk to guys like Adam Lopez or something, or anybody that's actually been an artist and tried their hand at music and
mm-hmm.
learned the game. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what it is. You have to learn and study the
you
craft.
Really do.
And, you know, people
you really
always
do.
Say, wow, you know, Fourth Quarter Production, J-Mac, like, you know, you guys ain't been around for that long, but you got a nice list of placements, even though you don't have that huge one. That, like, people know about y'all because y'all got, well, that came from having relationships before we even...
Exactly.
You know,
before
I even went out there and presented our music. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, I had a relationship. Just like us.
Like,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
Just like us on the
mm-hmm.
show. When we meet people on the show and then we see them again and we have something else in hand, a tangible product or whatever, to give them, mm-hmm. they're going to be more apt to speak to us and listen to us with a more open ear than somebody just walking to them off the street because we have a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So I think artists should definitely, you know, take heed. And when you go to these different conferences, like we've talked about before, I know one guy, all he does is go and collect cards. He just goes and collects a bunch of business cards, gets back home, puts them in a database, and when he's ready to send shit out, he has his own list that people mm-hmm. pay for. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So he's making sure that, hey, I'm not going there to get signed. I'm going there to get enough data so that when I am ready, I have my own list, my list that people will pay me for. And I've seen him get paid for his list. So there's different ways you can be smart about it. And, you know, the industry, it's kind of crazy, especially right now. I'm glad Duke called about the dance music. That was dope because I think Adams is right. I think it's kind of phasing out because it's like a fad here. But at the same time, we want to do what's making a bunch of money. And the people that see those DJs making $100,000 for spending one night and shit like that, well, that's appealing to America. We're a capital of this country. Anything that's making money like that, we want to hop on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But do we really like that shit? Can we really go days and days with going to the EDM club or, you know, or whatever have you? But That's the consumer. Artist-wise, it could be very smart because those big hits on the radio now, I know a hip-hop R&B station in my town transformed to dance completely. No more hip-hop. Mm-hmm. It's just dance. So that shit took over that station completely. And radio spins, if you're getting money from your ASCAP, BMI, CSAT, whoever you're with, and you're registered and you distribute it to somebody, that can mean a lot of money for you. So depending on where you're at and what you're trying to do, that type of music can really help you out. But like he said, you got to follow the trend and see, hey, do I have the fan base that's going to carry this music or am I just doing this for nothing? You know what I'm saying? So.
And then it's, you know, it goes into the whole. It was a great question, Mr. World Famous. I wish we had his Twitter so we could shout him out. He said Georgia, so stand up, GA.
Georgia.
But can I shout out where I'm from? Texas. What it do? Because is we gonna shout it out real quick?
New York City. Now in Orlando, Florida. You know what I'm saying? Out here.
I'm chilling out here in the Carolinas.
Chilling in the O. Hey, where you at? Fayetteville, North Click.
What it do? This is crazy. I sound real random, I know, but hey, it is what it is. And actually, speaking of where you from, where you repping, et cetera, like that, I'm actually touching down to the so unplanned. We all were going to actually touch down to Southern Entertainment Awards, but I actually kind of, I'm going home anyway and have a couple things set up that I have to do out that way. You guys can follow my Twitter and keep up and Instagram at Onyx254 if you want to know about that. But I'm going to be at the Southwest by Southwest. I'm going to spend about 2 to 3 hours during the daytime. Got other things going on. So I'm going to spend about 2 to 3 hours at some of those conferences and panels. And I do encourage some of the artists to take advantage of things like that, those festivals, those opportunities to learn and gather. Same thing that we do here on Wednesdays, The Cut, but more in depth and a panel full of executives and A&Rs and whatnot. So not sure what the timeline is. Don't have a schedule, itinerary, anything to kind of tell you, but don't forget about Southwest by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Goes down this time every year in March. And then also following, we will be at the Southern Entertainment Awards in Nashville, Tennessee on March 22nd, March 23rd, I believe is the dates. So do holla at us. The Cut will be in the building. Definitely approach us. And like Golden said, be social. Don't just throw us a CD and keep it moving. Please speak to us.
We'll throw it back.
What'd you say? We're going to throw it back?
We'll throw it back.
Look, let me see. Can I say this? I always be asking permission, but really, can I go in on that real quick? The links, like he said,
yeah,
like you have to be sociable. And my thing is, like, today I got sent, like, 15 links in my inbox, and that really kind of made me feel some type of way because, for one, it's Wednesday. So I'm focused on the show, and I can't, you know, like, just throwing music at me. I don't know who you are. Like, you're just shooting me links. You didn't even speak. I don't know what this is. I don't know if it's a mixtape, single, video. Like, you got to kind of at least let people know what it is. At least speak and introduce what it is. If you just drop a link in my inbox, and I'm on FB right now because I can't even stand Facebook like that, but just dropping links in my inbox doesn't do anything for me. I don't know what that means. So just sending me a link, and that's, I'm like, what is this? You know, so definitely. And then I'm not a DJ. Like, I know we have this show, but, you know, I'm not really someone that can get you signed. So kind of go into what it is that you're looking to do. If you wanted the record to be played, that's fine. We'll give you the protocol and the emails for that. But you got to kind of do it like a business. Don't just assume, you know, the urban industry is kind of funny, you know. You kind of got to execute business-wise.
Yeah,
would you really just drop a... well, I know some people will, but, I mean, you just, if you run into P. Diddy, you're going to just throw him the CD, or whoever you run into, Jay-Z, you're going to just throw your CD at him. You're going to at least say, how you doing, Jay-Z? You know, you're going to at least speak. So do the same with everybody else. Don't just, you know, attack them with your music because it's too old. The game is so oversaturated right now. You can't afford to just be reckless with your moves. And that's pretty much what you're doing when you're just spamming everybody. Like, everybody raps. Everybody sings. So come better with how you approaching folk. At least have a relationship with somebody before. And not even a relationship, but, again, at least be cordial, respectful. Say something. Say what it is. You know, and so you can further network. I mean, that's just smart. It's common sense. And like you said earlier, they lose the common sense while they're chasing the dream. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But, That's a pet peeve of mine, just to get a link and I don't know what's going on. Like, at least say something with the link, you know. So I wanted to rant on that. I'm sorry.
Like, it's all good. I mean, you shouldn't have to say that, you know what I'm saying? But it's sad that, you know, I think that...
They still haven't got it down, that it's a business. Like, they just still think...
You said, like, it's common sense too. It's like,
yeah.
if I'm dropping the link in
just
your inbox, I'm gonna say what I want you to do with the link and what it's for. You feel
right.
What I'm saying? So it's kind of like if I submit music to, like the other day, you know, I submit a lot of music to DJs that I could go test the record out to, you know, in a club or if they having a party or whatever,
right.
You know. So I'll let them know, like, yo, coming with a new Flash Garments record, you know, that's my artist, like, coming with a new Flash Garment record. I know that last one, you know, it was hot. And this is even before we try to release or do anything. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not on that. I really just, like, test this shit out right now and see how it's rocking. So, you know, I let them know what I'm trying to do before I get there.
Yeah,
really? Get out, you know what I'm saying? And then they tell me, hey, come down. The last record was fire. We got this new record called Undercover Freak. You know, now they hit me up. Yo, you got anything new from Flash, blah, blah, blah? And I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, got that. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? And it's all because of how you approach a person.
That's what I'm saying. Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Come on now. Like, build with somebody. Like, we may have an opportunity, and it may be dope, but when it's just so many people, especially on a Wednesday, because Wednesdays is just, I'm in the zone, it's show day, I'm crunk, I'm turned up for the show, or I'm, you know, running around with the twins all day to get ready for the show. So it's still life, you know what I'm saying? And we one person. That's why we have these, not rules, but, you know, some type of protocol, some type of something in place so it could be structured, there's a flow, and again, just so everybody can have their fair chance of being heard. We want to help. We love, this whole show is about helping artists, well, sharing, you know, just sharing our knowledge within the industry and then having the guests on and whatnot. So we want you to grow with us. We want to grow with you. We want to help you. We want to do the live feedback reviews and all of that. And we actually have two songs that we're going to drop in tonight and kind of going to see, and we want your opinion. Also, call us and let us know how you feel about the records. If you're still kicking it with us, 760-913-4119. Not if. You need to be still kicking it with us. This is The Cut. This is the hottest online joint on Wednesday nights. If you haven't heard, this is it. I think we have somebody calling, but I know we got to take a break, and you had some news. Did you want to do the songs before we did the news?
Grab the caller.
No, I mean, I don't know if they have a question or not, though, so I don't want to just bring them live and be like, yo, are you doing?
I'm saying, like, definitely see if they got a question or not, but, I mean, the news, it's small potatoes, you know what I'm saying? It's not
okay.
Big, so.
Okay, no doubt. Well,
let's engage with the fans.
Well, I need to definitely, I want to take a quick break, and then I'll come back, because I need to see who that is on the line. Come back, and then we'll get into those two reviews, and then the news, and do it like that. And actually, it's so dope to play this record right now, because it's actually getting a lot of support and love. This is the Kid and Play joint, Golden. We had
Backland and
yes.
Backland and Honey.
Yes, yes. And they got a tweet from Teddy Riley and DJ Vlad and who else? Kid from Kid and Play, who came on the show that you interviewed a while back. So pretty dope. Again, 100 Stacks, Kid and Play, 100 Stacks in Backland with Kid and Play. Unsigned, independent. We're going to drop that and then come back with two songs to review on the cut.
Dope.
Yeah. Block, boy. Work. You know they say sharing is caring, baby. Show us how much you care about us. Get in.
Work. My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say. Work. Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today. Work. She ain't talking pussy. Work. Don't look a nigga way. Work. We tag team them hoes. Oh, Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play. Work. Yeah. Me that thin in that pussy. That pussy. Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play. Work.
This what we do, nigga.
We tag team them hoes. Work. Kid and Play.
From the first time that I met her, I knew that I was gon' sex her.
But will she let the crew hear?
I guarantee she gon' let her. See, baby girl, will go get her. And she know I'm getting that cheddar. Uh-huh. Plus, when it come to real niggas, ain't nobody here better. Nah. So I'm gonna do what I do best. Yeah. Since the whistle with you text. Yeah. You fine as hell and you cute, yes. Yeah. But is you done with that group sex? Yeah. She say she got that deep throat and her juice box get too wet. Mm. And now I'm dancing in that pussy. Bitch, check out my two-step. You know the way that my crew rap. We fuck a bitch in your hood net. So gonna bring your girl through. We share her like we share you. Don't care about your hairdo. Nah. Don't care about your makeup. Nah. Cause once you at my house party, all we do is straight fuck. You won't be around when I wake up. Nah. No girlfriends and no dates up. Nah. And them double D's and them A cups. We take them all if they straight fuck. Nigga. Won't be around when I wake up. Nah. No girlfriend and no dates up. Nah. And them double D's and them A cups. We take them all if they straight fuck.
My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say. Work. Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today. Work. She ain't talking pussy. Work. Don't look a nigga way. Work. We tag team them hoes. Ooh. Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play. Work.
Yeah.
Me that thin in that pussy. That pussy. Kid and Play. Work. Kid and Play.
Work.
Kid and Play.
Work.
We tag team them hoes. Ooh. Kid and Play.
Bought me one of them hood hoes. Yeah, you know what I'm good for. I'm the bait. Reel her in, then get her gone on that good smoke. She think I'm fly, she say I'm cute. I crack a smile, I say you too. We drinking, we smoking. Next thing you know, that booty loose. I chew the cakes back to the face, ran through that hoe. Shit, relay race. I'm Road Dogg and that's Billy Guns. If you a freak, bitch, give me some. We turned up, we having fun. Broke niggas ain't having none. We turned up, having fun. Broke niggas ain't having none. Kick your heels two times, then you Kid and Play. Money gets you any pussy, fuck what bitches say. I got a pocket full of guap, she got a Section 8. She be a fool not to let a nigga penetrate. Work,
work. Her booty fucks my nerve. I give a dick till she squirt. I give a dick till she jerk. She give me head till I burst. Then give my homie the same thing. It's an invite to them bitch nights. Come try that block boy gang bang.
Work. My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say.
Work.
Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today.
Work.
She ain't talking pussy.
Work.
Don't look a nigga way.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Yeah.
Me dancing in that pussy.
That pussy.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
That song is so much fun to me. I was over here doing a little jig, you know what I'm saying? I like the work, when they do the work part. And it's just a genius concept. Kid and play. We tag team them, kid and play. I like that, I like that, I like that.
Dope-ass concept, dope song.
Yeah, it was very genius. Nobody did, who did that? You know what I'm saying? And everybody knows the kid and play, you tag team, you do the dance. I mean, it's just perfect. They did that. I don't care what you say.
Dancing in the pussy. Kid and play.
I wasn't going to say all of that. That's why I had, you see how I even muted the H word. I didn't, I, you know me, I got to keep it, try to keep it, you know. Hey.
Shout out to the Baltimore boys back when they hunted. That joint is rocking, man. You're getting tweets from Riley, Teddy Riley, Vlad,
yeah, some legend.
Kid himself.
Yeah,
you know,
Kid and Riley,
you can't
come
beat
on.
That, man. You can't beat that. It sounds like they got one that's ready to take off, so
yeah, I
stay
can
tuned.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely, most definitely. Do you want to chop it up with the news or you want to get into the songs? How did you want to do it? It's on you.
Nah, we could get into the songs. We could get into the songs and get that, you know, get that taken care of. Like I said, the news ain't really that important. There's a couple things going on, but, you know, ain't really that important that we got to dive into them like that. We could get, all right, if you want to save the songs for, you know, later, so that's up to you.
I mean, I'm on you. Well, we could do, I mean, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, let's just do the songs real quick. Let's just get them out the way.
Okay.
And,
so first,
you know, go ahead and review, because we got to do a little review of them anyway, so.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and knock
we
those
do
out.
We do want to get those in, so, especially, like you said before, people, while they still engaged and tuned in, we got one
right,
is
right.
Actually Tankster DJ. Now, he says he produced this track. I'm going to check this out. This is Hard Times, Just John MC. Going to go ahead and play this joint, review it, see what happens.
Prevailing, a swollen member, a mad child. What's done? These two face down, ass out. It is the frat house. Drink till I black out. We're living it up, divvy it up. We're trilling this cut. It's a diamond in the rough. He's a mining it up for the pusher, multiplying the butt. Hard times on the assembly line. The heart of God. Everyone trying to get there. Can't see the signs. What is he stunting? Losing marbles, taking in the melon, back to the ghetto. Two-time felon, telling many stories like Helen Keller. Got me yelling and selling.
Seeing me having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times, there's no love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times, there's no love to be found.
Welcome to the
jungle where you can't be weak, cooking crumble. We stuck underneath from 110th Street down your block. It's finna get hot, working hard 9 to 5. Slaves away, trying to pave the way, whether the sun is out or the skies is gray. It is the mountain to climb, gotta take this shot and have no doubt in your mind. The landlord banging on the door for the rent. I need a dollar, but all I got is 50 cents. So I get rich or die trying. Kill a man, sit a man, kill the skin. So he starts lying, looking for my angel wings so I can start flying. Before I start frying, we singing and rhyming that there's no denying.
Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times, there's no love to be found. Having hard times in this crazy town. Having hard times, there's no love to be found.
Carrying weight with broken shoulder blades. I got a basket full of broken eggs. Every day is a dollar day. Even on a holiday, daily operate. So I got the weight with the Glock we spray. Cock and spray, getting too big for the britches. I'll do a bid because of snitches. A bunch of midgets reaching for the riches. So how do you keep it real when you're feeling really ill? The fate is rarely sealed. The police stuff in my grill. What else is revealed when you're praying then kneel? Is there a God in the heavens? Who is my brethren? What are these selections to make my choices? If no one is there and a tree falls in the forest, are there noises?
March on with broken legs and hold your head. It feels like no one can. It is a play for people and hate runs deep.
In this great G14 made a cut that was thanks to DJ producing Hard Times just John MC, who actually has quite a bit of followers on Twitter. He's up there in the five G's. I wanted to say that I actually like the production. It sounds familiar, but I like the production. It doesn't, it's really not. It's kind of one of those tracks where you feel like you've heard it before. The hook was really genius. The hook was really nice. I think I like the concept of the hook. Everybody can relate to hard times, having hard times and stuff like that, and bouncing back, doing what they got to do. However, I feel like the quality wasn't as best as it. It wasn't up to par for what it should be. I think that this would be definitely something that would have to go back to the studio, get the levels fixed. And there was a couple of parts as well. I really couldn't understand the lyrics because of the quality not being, as the best. However, I would like to hear it once it's been mixed down and, you know what I mean, mastered and whatnot, so I can kind of get the feel for what, you know, what he's kind of, you know, going with as far as the vibe of hard times. And then some sections, you know, I feel like maybe, I don't know if it was the engineering or the flow and cadence definitely could use some improvement there, you know, develop that flow, develop the cadence so that you can ride that track the way you want to, you know, but, or if not, you know, even if you produce this, if not, if you, you know, if your thing is more so to do a slowed up tempo, not really, you know, hit on those ones and twos, you know, I'm not a producer, so I don't know the term, but maybe another production would suit your voice better. So kind of just find what works for you. This track does need some improvement. It wasn't it wasn't bad, but it definitely has, there's room for improvement on that track. We actually have some people listening. I want to know what they think. But for me, I feel like this one has to go back to the studio to get a little bit more work in. What do you think, Olin?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you're saying. I mean, you know, I've heard that track before on Ghostface's, I think it's Supreme Clientele. I think what he did was
just chopped
the loop off of that record and just continue to loop it, you know, so he can rhyme over it and then bring it back to the sample, which is, you know, that's an old song. that hook is from. That's not an original hook. That's
right.
Actually, I can't think of the artist, but that's an old song.
You're so right. You're so right. It is.
You know, so it's not an original hook, but as far as the I can't remember the Ghostface song, but it had Meth on there, Ghost on there, and the RZA, I think, produced that track, if I'm not mistaken. One of the Wu-Tang Clan producers produced that track, and what the part he's rhyming over is exactly the part
they
rhyme over.
Yeah, it definitely sounds familiar. Like I say, I know this track somewhere.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's off the Supreme Clientele or the Bulletproof Wallets, one of those joints that Ghost did. And then, like you said, his voice is really monotone. So if he's not emphasizing anything, you're really not going to understand what he's talking about unless you really hear it, unless somebody turns his vocals up. If he's got a monotone voice, that's fine. There's a lot of rappers out there with monotone voices, but just make sure your engineer knows how to put you on top of the beat. You know, he's definitely not on top of the beat, so you can hardly understand what he's saying until he comes in with a few phrases that you're like, okay, I understand what he just said. He just said, get what you got trying. But then it like fades back out again. So, you know, if anybody's doing an original song, you definitely want to make sure you're able to be heard. That way, if you're spitting any punchlines or you got any bridges going on or you got any chants going on, you want them to know what you're saying so they could be engage with that track. You know what I'm saying? I think the best part about that song was having hard time. And
exactly.
That's because we heard that before. We've heard that song. That song has been hit before. So, you know, I don't know
works.
If it's anything. Yeah, so
you
it
know,
works.
If you have,
you know, it, I don't
we
know
it'll work, but yeah.
Yeah, but all you, right. I mean, that's not originality. You know, you. If I'm saying that I created a song, then there has to be something from him that I want to hear too. You know what I'm saying? And if you can't hear him because the vocals are so low, then you're just waiting for an old school sample to come back in. You know what I'm saying? Which is already a dope sample anyway. Tremendous people have taken that sample and used it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so to me, that one definitely has to go back to the lab, get a little work. I don't know if he's spitting fire or not because I couldn't
hear
him. Yeah,
couldn't
hear
him.
So I can't judge it and I can't say, oh, this shit is dope. To me, I couldn't even hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and plus, I already, you know, me being on some production shit, I'm already, you know, knocking it a little bit because he's rapping over the exact same beat that Ghost had been rapped over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, you know, if he produced that track, there should be something different in in the verse besides just
it.
A voice, you know what I'm saying? Or,
exactly.
or something like that that he threw in there. If the drums was to change up, if he was to flip the sample and turn it around and do something, then I'd be like, okay, I see he... Yeah, he made some moves with the track, but it's just like the same exact thing. So I think that one need to go back to the lab.
For you, it was more like a mixtape joint. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it was. It was somebody spitting over a track that's already out there. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't no hook that he created. It was just him rhyming. You know, so if it's just going to be you rhyming over a mixtape type joint, well, then, you know, it needs to sound... Or not even sound like, but come across like J. Cole's or Drake's. When they jump on somebody else's track, they usually saying some shit that makes people go, ooh, you're killing that joint. You know what I'm saying? Like
the whole purpose of the mixtape.
By their vocal and what they're saying over the instrumental.
Exactly.
We can't really hear what he's saying on that instrumental, so we don't know what's going on that track.
Right, and definitely, and just to piggyback off the mixtape comment or joint of just all of that, I hate to hear a mixtape version that don't go equally hard or good or bring something different to the table. Like, please don't do a whack mixtape version. Like, we don't need that. Either you gonna do it and kill it or don't do it, please, because that's the worst to hear. It's nothing like hearing 50 different versions of ASAP Rocky Problems. You know what I'm saying? With none of them sounding up to par. So Let's just kind of let's know our lane, know our market, know our strengths and weaknesses, and you know, let's do the best we can when we getting in the studio or wherever we getting into, and then putting that investment into it as well. And this isn't a knock to everybody
important.
That's listening.
Yeah, that's
oh yeah, it, this
yeah,
is what it is.
Important.
If you're gonna do it, you know, do it in full.
Hey,
yeah.
Or if you have a goal, some people don't have a goal. Some
you're
people
right.
just like shit on their computers. And letting their friends hear it, you know what I'm saying? But if you was to go to any, you know, if your skill is being a lyricist and you want people to be like, yo, son, what was his name again?
Tankster. Oh, just Giant.
Tankster.
Dempsey.
If you want somebody to be like, Tankster is spitting on that joint, well, then Tankster needs to be spitting on that joint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the monotone flow ain't gonna catch too many people's ear. So
you
know,
when
like
it's
I said,
mixed. Like you need, yeah, you gotta get
right,
mix,
especially
right.
when it's not sounding how it's supposed to sound.
Right, it could definitely be better. It wasn't, you know, it can always be better, but this was a case again where it really needed to just. It didn't. It couldn't do anything for me regarding the quality wise, and you know, you have the songs out there that didn't make it through and push through somehow, some way. But again, it was original. It was catchy. It was crazy. The Waka Flocka. Remember when? What was the first song he had? Let's Do It. It was one of the worst qualities in the world. Little B. You know, he doesn't even mix his joints sometimes. But it is what it is. You know, you can at least hear it. I mean, you can at least, the song is at least original. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, perfect, perfect. But just, it definitely can be better. We actually have somebody who was actually on the call earlier. I'm happy he's still going. Mr. World Famous. We shouted him out. GA, what's good? What's your feedback on that track? Thanks for hanging with us.
Yeah, appreciate it. No problem, no problem. Well, first of all, you had me laughing over here with the whack, you know, the whack remixes, et cetera, mixtapes. I mean, you're so right about that. I just love that word, whack. I mean, I'm 43, so I'm from the old school, the 80s, when shit
oh,
was actually
whack.
Oh, we like
whack, that word,
you know
too.
So I'm like,
yeah,
right
out
of my mouth. But what I wanted to say was, like, the first song, one thing I got to commend him on is what I'm getting tired of hearing he didn't do. Is this damn dubbing, these 50 million recordings of your one take, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like
mm-hmm.
it's too, I mean, people don't really dub no more. So young rappers, stop all that damn dubbing. You know, if you look at all the pros who are doing it, from Jay-Z to Eminem, they don't dub. If you want to get what they get, do what they do. They ain't dubbing. Stop the damn dubbing and drop your shit, you know, raw, number one. I do arts development, so bear with me. I'm a reference to the being I'm a businessman. Because I'm a businessman for the most part. I always look at the market. And one thing about that song, that first song and stuff, it's going to be kind of difficult to market. If you want to stay underground, then boom, you're going to rule the underground. You're trying to go, you know, on radio, et cetera, et cetera. You got to do a lot of damn bleeping, or you got to make a radio remix. So in other words, reference to that song, if you're going to push that song, make a radio version. You're going to need it. Otherwise, the song won't go as far as the underground in so many words. I mean, it can go big though online. The second song, the Green Eye Bandit, that's what reminded me of. It sounded like Eric Sermon to me on that track. And like your brother was saying, the monotone thing, yeah, that's, people got to feel you. If they ain't feeling you, they ain't going to feel the song. I mean, the track, the hook and everything, reminded me of old school hip-hop. I was feeling the track, et cetera, et cetera. But when he delivered it, when I heard the Green Eye Bandit deliver a song, I was like, come on, dude, you got to come with that same energy. And the chemistry just wasn't there. I didn't feel it. And that was a problem with that song. And, you know, it's kind of when you go to the studio, fellas and ladies, don't read your raps off no damn notebook, BlackBerry, or damn iPhone. Learn
yeah,
your shit
been,
and drop it real.
They've been watching
saying?
The YouTube videos of the celebrities doing it, so they think they can roll in there with the little iPhone joints and a little new Palm, whatever they got out, Nexus, whatever it is.
Exactly,
yeah,
but they sound
that.
Real. They sound like they're into it. They sound emphasized, like he was saying about inflections, you know, emphasizing certain words. They deliver, you feel what they're saying, but if you're just reading, man, please, you might as well take a bad acting class, 'cause that's bad acting, bad rapping. So that was my points on them songs. Like I said, Green Eye Bandit, dog, you got to get a little more lively. The fella and stuff, yo, we need a radio version so you can go beyond the underground or the internet and get that, you know, spinning basically from, you know, regional to national to hopefully internationally. And by the way, it's at Mr.
Definitely.
World Famous. My name, I'm Googleable. If you know Mr. World Famous, you'll find me. I'm at Mr. World Famous, MrWorldFamous.com, on Gmail, Yahoo. Just, I'm easy to find.
Okay, I'm about to get right with you right now on the Twitter joint, and I appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you tuning in tonight and also participating. Hang in there with us. Hey, I know who you are. Definitely. I think I'm following. Yeah, we follow each other. Oh, no, okay, I'm not. I'm following you now, though. Yeah, I've seen you on my timeline pretty heavy before. So, yeah, shout out. We got a little
trying to say that
man
stalking you?
No.
Tell about she's seen you on the timeline. Pretty, what's pretty heavy?
You know what I'm saying. You know how people retweet.
You've been on my timeline pretty heavy. You throw that man out there like that.
Oh my God. Well, hang with us.
But Mr. World Famous is correct, man, in both aspects. And I know Backland and Hunted are super smart guys. I'm pretty sure they got a radio edit for that Kid and Play joint. And I know he said he's been trying. He's been going to radio with that record, so I know they definitely probably have a radio edit in.
Yeah.
And, the second dude, the Eric Sermon type flow is exactly what it reminded me of. The funny thing about it, like, when you're doing songs like that, man, it's just like, I can't even say if you're doing songs like that, because people don't do songs like that.
Yeah.
People spit freestyles, you know, that sounds like some shit where it's a party, people smoked out, somebody throws on the old beat, and they just start rocking to it, you know what I'm saying? And there's one cat with the monotone voice that smoked out, and he just going bar for bar trying to, you know, spit some lyrics. But, you know, if you're trying to produce songs and you're trying to actually go to another level with yours, that definitely is not going to cut it, especially the quality of what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, if you was going to take Ghostface and them shit and flip it to where
people are like,
you 50 Cent was a master of making a song that he did a remix over sound better than the original. You know what I'm saying? And niggas took that and played it completely out. So now if you rapping on something that I heard before, you better be nice. Like Onyx said, we don't even want to hear it. We don't.
I'm done with it. I'm so, y'all take stuff and just.
And I'm not talking about we just on the show. I'm talking about people.
Life. Yes. The world. Everyone.
The world.
We're done with it. Like, even as a fan, like, we're still fans of artists and music as well, so we can become a fan of an unsigned artist, but give me a reason to. I'm a fan of Nati from New Orleans, Louisiana. I love her flow. I love everything about
amazing.
Her. At 3D Nati, shout her out. She's great, and I love it, and I'm humbled with it, too. So, again, give us a reason. And she does the mix. I'm glad we said her just now, because she does the mixtape joint. She does what she calls, I think, the tea mixes or something. She calls them a morning exercise. And she'll just flow over like a beat, old school, new
she
school.
She murders it, though.
And kills it completely.
She gets on there and murders it. So
completely.
If you're going to get on something, plus she has her own brand and own lane. See, that's what Adam Lopez was talking about earlier. If you have people, a core fan base, that wants to listen to what you have to say, you know, then give them something. Don't shortchange them. You said you said fam got like 5,000 followers on Twitter. Like if those 5,000 followers
do something with that,
are really dealing with you, well then really put something out there to make them be like, yo, that's why I've been riding with that cat. If those 5,000 followers are telling you that they feeling what I just heard, you're going to need a whole nother 5,000.
Yeah, you really just want to have honest. I mean, this is the kind of, and we appreciate you. And again, it's not to, you know, knock you down or whatever. This is to help you grow. This help you nurture your craft. So everyone that's listening for the first time, tune in. This is important. This is, you should be encouraged by things like this. And of course, our word isn't bond, but trust me, you definitely, you know, want to kind of take these opinions and feedback and go back. And we can, if you want to get into our resumes and background, you can actually Google us as well. Mr. World Famous said Google him, Google me, Google Golden, and it's not a stunting situation. It's just what it is. Yeah, so. And
we
I
wouldn't
want
to
get
come
into,
up. We wouldn't even talk about it if we was trying to. It
exactly.
Wouldn't even play
it wouldn't even. This show would not even be
trying
here.
To knock it down. And do, so
we wouldn't even
because,
have a song.
Exactly. Right. This is because we wanted to say, hey, We know you're doing music. You know what I'm saying? Here's what you could probably do better. Here's what you need to do better. You know what I'm saying?
This
like,
is what works best, probably.
There's certain things out there that in the marketplace. You know what's funny about that? Now that you say it, I'm looking at who it is. It's the dude. He's on Global. He's on Global 14. And I think he's Asian. I don't know if he's Chinese, Japanese, or whatever. See, this brings a whole other aspect to it, kind of, in this sort of way. I know a bunch of Asian kids that will probably sit there and listen to that because rap music to them, they just love what we're doing over here. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if he presented this to a crowd of people, especially in the Asian community, because they love that 90s hip-hop. They love that underground type stuff, you know what I'm saying? And most of them don't speak English that well. They just know the songs, and they listen to that old Wu-Tang sample. They will rock with that, with him. You feel what I'm saying? They will probably show some love to that. But in the big scheme of things, you're not really going to move far with that. You know what I'm saying? As far as out here trying to get a deal or whatever have you, but you will have people that will come on there and be just like, ah, I like that, man, that was cool, you rocked it over to so and so. And you know, now that I'm putting two and two together, you know, I can see how somebody probably didn't say, hey, you might want to get those vocal levels up and get this done, you know what I'm saying? So like I said, it's not just me and Onyx. You got Mr. World Famous on here, then you know the same thing. So just take it in consideration what we're saying. If you don't want to, you know, that's cool too. But we only here to try to, you know, assist and you know, help. And that's why we had Lopez on here earlier as well, you know, to drop jewels and let y'all know what's good.
Exactly. And we always stay here, you know, of course there's no straight, surefire way, you know, you do this talent show, you're going to get signed, you do this, you get signed, you do this, you get signed, or you do this, you're going to be famous. But of course, we all know by now, if never before, there's no one way into the industry and there's no one right way. However, there are, again, strategies and different things that you can implement, and especially if it's music, one thing would be quality is most important. A song could be the worst song, and a lot of people don't like Trinidad James' song at first, whether they, I mean, but the quality, the beat,
I got a
no
new
fan,
example.
So.
I got a new example for you, Onyx. Young Scooter, that Columbia record. When you hear that Columbia record outside the club, like, I could cook cocaine.
Yeah.
I done fell in love with a Cuban. I went to Columbia. When I first heard that record, I was like, what the fuck am I listening to right now?
Right.
Is this for real? When we were in the club in Atlanta, that beat was knocking so hard in them speakers. I was like, is that the same joint? The quality of that track coming across made it sound like a whole different type of record. You know what I'm saying? Yet and still, like, I'm not like, oh, that kid's spitting crazy. Nah, but that track sounded great. When we was in Compound in Atlanta.
Yeah. No, they was off the chain with it as much as they could be off in that joint. Well, we do got one more that we actually want to drop tonight, and this is from artist Imani Rose and the producer Jay Buchanan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And this is called Fruit Snacks. Catchy title. Let's see what it do.
Fruit Snacks.
Coins, pop me, I don't do no favors. Don't you know who you fucking with? It's not the having, it's the getting. Elizabeth Taylor. If he ain't about that life, then I ain't been a tighter. Wet panties, empty purse. What a fucking sad case. Free smashing, where they do that at? Y'all gon' learn today. When you're trying to see some ass dentists, remember, diamonds are a girl's best friend, Marilyn.
Lady G14 Ready to Cut, that was Imani Rose with Fruit Snacks, produced by Jay Buchanan. What you think? What you think? I got both of y'all on.
I like that joint right there, man. I like that joint right there. You know what's crazy about that joint that I don't like is that people gonna say she sound like Nicki, but at the same time, that shit was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was hot, I'd sell that shit to Nicki, like, right now. Like, I like the beat. I like the change-up of the production, you know what I'm saying? I think she kept it real dope with the change-up as well. I like her voice, you know what I'm saying? I think I want to see her now that I heard that record, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's dope. See, you got it.
You know, it made me want to see her because her voice sounds like she's pretty, and I think she rolled that track perfectly. Like, I like that joint right there. I thought it was dope.
And I definitely agree with you. And I actually heard it a little bit before. Also, I know that that quality is up to par on the track. Of course, this is through the radio, through the online uploading, but that to be able to hear it as clear cut as that and it going through our little process here was pretty dope. I definitely enjoyed it, especially as a girl. We want something to, you know, sing along to and have a theme song and be trying to be about, you know, just girls love stuff like that. Everybody loves a good sing-along track, dance track, theme song, all of that. And that, to me, kind of embodies something that women all over will be like, yeah, he want my food, you know, everything she was saying, the fruit snacks. It's a very catchy title. You're like, fruit snacks? What happened? And then you hear it and you're like, okay, this is dope. So, and I definitely enjoyed the production. Everything is a lot of different elements, however, still structured, still on point, still on time. And you being a producer saying that, just I'm so pleased to hear you say that as well, because I was feeling the same way. Like, yeah, I like the way that, you know, this is switching, changing up. So how about you, Mr. World Famous?
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I actually like that damn song. And the reason why I like that damn song is that damn song will get on my damn nerves, you know what I'm saying? But that's a good thing, because in the sense that, number one, like he was saying, the production is tight. I like how he breaks it up. That's like 2K13. It ain't the same monotonous loop over and over again. He switched it up some, and she did it even with her vocal style, her inflections and everything. So she delivered that song good. It will get on my damn nerves, but the fact that it's different, it's unique, and it's
pitch,
like you were saying, sing along and stuff, the song definitely has its potential. To me, if it's not a buzz record, it can be a strong single. So I actually like that damn song. It would get on my damn nerves, but I would like it because it's a good damn song.
Yeah, it did what it needed to do.
I mean, if she don't got nothing that's really rocking right now, and you don't got nothing that's some plan to roll it out and do what you need to do, I would try to get that to Minaj. Like, just be like, yo, head hook, everything is there. You know what I'm saying? Do y'all want it? Because that shit, that could be a hit record. But it's just some people don't have, you know, the push. behind what they're doing to actually push records like that and really make some super noise out here. But I can hear tons of girls singing, yeah,
oh,
you
yeah.
want my food?
You, yeah, you,
know
you got it in your,
could,
you got it stuck in your head
Gucci,
already.
Gucci.
Yeah,
that could be
yeah.
the next Gucci Goopy,
yeah.
but better than what Krayshawn did.
Yeah.
But you really need to get a plan behind that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the key is you definitely got to perform it as many places as possible. I always tell artists that when you got a song that is good, you want to get that. You want to get yourself, like you were saying, because now you want to see it. You want to get that song, that concept, that show, that personality, that attitude in front of as many people as you can, whether it's a free on open mic type thing or open up for somebody or performing. You got to get out and get that song out. Don't rely on the internet. Don't rely on, you know, just Twitter and Facebook. You got to get off your anus and get out as many freaking showcases, free open mics you can, and let everybody feel that song and go look for that song. That's when you'll start getting that buzz. But you got to get out there and do something with it. Like he was saying, you just can't sit on and wait for something to happen or somebody to call you. Get off your butt, your people, your team, and push that song. Perform it as many places as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And put that same little attitude you got, put all that in it too, because that gets on my damn nerves.
And there's going to be so many people that like it for several different reasons.
Exactly.
I mean, it goes back to the T. James, it goes back to the Nicki. I mean, it's just crazy. That's going to be one of them joints that you're going to turn on the radio and be like, okay, I like it, but I already heard this. You're going to click on the other radio station. It's going to be on that radio station. Like, at one point, those type songs will be on all the radio stations simultaneously because they're constantly in rotation. So, and we're not going to get into radio politics of that right now, but it's still dope to know that that song would be in demand. So I agree with both of you gentlemen. Definitely push. And we pretty much
and go ahead. You know, if they listen, not to interrupt you, sweetheart. If y'all listening, man, go find some twerk teen chicks, like some chicks with a bunch of YouTube videos that do that twerk, those twerk videos.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that that needs to be the theme song for their next twerk video.
Yep.
Find one with a lot of views, a lot of followers, and get them on that immediately. I don't know if there's a better twerk song out there right now than I just heard that once.
Right.
It just tells you everything. Yeah, they want my fruit snacks, okay?
Right.
Well, what do the girls be doing in those twerk videos? Showing their cakes, showing everything they got. So you need to get at
capitalize
one of them girls.
On
them
that.
Girls,
mm-hmm.
Nah, they be breaking a lot of people into a lot of different fans, man. Shout out to 100 Stacks. He had that red chick, yellow chick on this little light-skinned shorty that be doing her sexy videos online, Jessica Reddy. I saw that joint the other day. I actually follow her on Instagram, checked out some new videos she had, and there was 100 Stacks throwing behind it. I was like, there you go.
You
got
to get to the women. You
got
to get to the women. You know, you really do. And again, that market, that song is perfect for a lot of different things. Club, like Mr. World Fans was saying, getting out there performing that, that's going to get a club real hype real quick. Get in there, get a little bit of dance, get two background dancers, get out there and do it. And she is very, very pretty. I'm going to put the Twitters. The Twitters are already on there at G14 Radio. We'll go ahead and shout them out real, real quick. It is at J Buchanan GMG, so that's at JBUCHANANGMG, and then you have Imani. Oh, I gotta find it, y'all. Bear with me.
About to start following
it's Imani Rose. I keep saying Eddie Imani. It's Imani Rose. She has a very exotic look too, as well. So,
looks great. Man.
Yeah, see, this is golden. This is golden right here. It's ITSIMANIROSE. So. Shout out to It's a Mighty Rose for coming through with the hit, exotic look, international. She's ready.
Me tell you something. Somebody need to put a plan behind that girl right there.
Yeah.
For that song in particular. Like, hopefully there's a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that the producer is also management as well, so he wears quite a few hats and executes them quite well. So we've kind of known him for a minute. So when he shot that track to me, I knew that we had to go ahead and put it in queue, even though I hadn't even had an opportunity to really jam it or anything like that. So did hear it before, but definitely hearing it again. I'm so fruit snacks. 2013.
Let me just shout out one last thing to LeBron James. Just hit the game winning layup, yo. You know, Miami.
That's my squad.
That's my squad. Had to immediately say shout out to King James on that. I was scared that they was about to lose to the Orlando Magic, but it didn't happen. We keep the winning streak alive. That's what's up.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, again, thank you for everybody tuning in to The Cut tonight. Shout out to, we had a couple of people that was tuning in. Shout out to Destiny, shout out to Cameron Rowe, Chocolate Tiger, everybody from the Global 14 fam, and thank you to Adam Lopez.
What up?
Appreciate you. Shout out to everyone that submitted their music. Please continue to submit your music, but just tweet us so we can tell you how to properly do so. And then also shout out to Miss Lish out there in Oakland, California. She was hanging with us, Change Hair Salon. They be tuning in with us. We really appreciate that. Stylish Salon and Day Spa.
That's the homies out on the West Coast. That's the
yeah,
stuff.
It's crazy. It's really nice to have everybody tuning in from different regions. And we got Georgia in on the line. Mr. World Famous, we appreciate you as well. So we definitely going to get
you
to the network.
That brother call in, man.
Absolutely. He's still on right now.
Oh, shit, he's still on? What up, man?
Oh, yeah, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all letting me speak. I appreciate that.
No doubt.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. Next time we come to the ATL, Georgia, where you at, man, just, you know, have a couple dope parties going on. You know what I'm saying? We roll up in there and have a good time out there, man.
Okay. I'll probably refer you to
that.
I'm big on business. You'll find me taking care of business opposed to partying. But I know people who actually do it. You know, I do a lot of filming behind the scenes for different celebrity moms and stuff. So I definitely would know the parties. I may be there doing business, but I'll be able to tell you where to go.
Okay, let's do it.
Anything that has something to do with networking. And then having some fun, man. I'm just that type. Like, me and Honest be working all the time, man, trying to, make this stuff happen. And then when we hit somewhere else, we definitely need that unwinding time, at least sometime while we're out there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Okay. Well, again, everybody, thank you. We appreciate you tuning in next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check in with us. Global14.com is the brand. Do go over there and sign up to Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Follow us at Global14, at G14 Radio, at Onyx254. Mr. World Famous, you are at Mr. World Famous.
Oh, yeah.
We got the tech. Shout out to our G14 tech holding it down. LD, Lamont Dupri, and that is at Davy_Botos and or Botos. And then Golden, I'll give you the mic.
At the glue, THAGLUE. Let me shout out the homie Young Swift, new song on MTV Jams, I Like, featuring Akon. Check that out. Follow Swiffer, baby. He making moves out there in the ATL. And also, Fourth Quarter Entertainment got that track coming with D-Mac, Global 14's very own. We about to work on something crazy, man. Just a lot of great stuff going on, man. And, of course, shout out Jermaine Dupri and the whole Global 14 fam.
Yeah, y'all just follow us and stay tuned. Stay engaged. Keep up. You know, be social. Be cordial. And let's get it popping. Let's network and connect. Let's do it. Can we ride out to Chief T. James since I kept talking about him the whole show? Please, can we ride out to Trinidad?
Who that?
Trinidad James.
Oh, yeah, with the remix?
Yeah, you already know, my homie Jeezy. Gotta show Jeezy love.
Most definitely.
Next Wednesday.
Peace.
Big bank, all I do is get bank.
Okay.
Niggas hating on me, but they be changed. So can see that I don't think my shit stink. $400,000 on the Mustang. Come and kick it with a west side. Nigga think I ain't about that action, wanna bet mine. Hey, all day, thumbing through the check, mine. Nigga, boy, you broke, you can't even be a threat, mine. Nigga, when you talking, let me say it with your chest, little nigga. I pull up on your set and make a mess, little nigga. Okay, I got a kilo of gold, 36 O's. Wrapped around the neck of a dope boy. Gold, yeah, not some crazy diamond in nose. And just pay cash
for a Rolls Royce. A true trap nigga, I don't sold everything. Trouble man, hustle gang, go go everything. I say trouble man, hustle gang, go go everything.
Hey, I'm the ball, now we on the dog. Big face roller, take up half my arm. 9-11 with the Gabby top. The all gold scale, my magic box. Got the song, my new. Give me 30 minutes, I'll be right with you. Got the all, my new. Let me whip this here, I get it right to you. Girl, damn.
Hey town, bitch.